Taking a closer look at the stories that affect you most with a big dose of common sense.
November 13th, glad to have you here for the conversation. The arguments and the debates continue over auto no-fault across the state of Michigan. It's a unique system, as you well know, providing unlimited coverage to those injured catastrophically in car accidents. It's been there since 1976. Matt Coffey hasn't been here that long, but he's been around for a while, 26 years of statewide practice in the areas of auto negligence, insurance defense, creditors' rights, and litigation. Matt, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Steve.
So you say there is only one auto reform plan coming out of Lansing that we should be focused on. Tell me about that. What is it and why?
Well, the plan offered by Representative Tice was the best plan because it sought to limit what is unlimited benefits in an effort to reduce premiums paid by all Michigan motorists. And as you know, Steve, that went down.
Yeah.
There are too many competing interests at the table here. This is one of those weird issues, Steve, that divide Republicans. And I think the reason that Republicans are divided is because the medical provider lobby is so strong, and some Republicans just don't feel the willpower to stand up to that lobby. And as a result, it went down. So I think we're all going to continue to pay the highest, or one of the highest, no-fault rates in the nation.
All right, so where do you go from here? What plan do you think is the best plan? What would you suggest we do with the, what is it, $22 billion in this catastrophic fund? What's the best approach?
Well, I think the best approach is try to go back to the drawing board and get all the interested parties at the table to come up with something.
Good luck.
Because I think everyone can agree that the rates are just too high here. One of the ways that we need to do that, we need to get providers and insurance companies to agree on how to limit that. You know, without that agreement, the politicians just don't have the will to get it done. So we need providers and the insurance company to sit across the table and figure out how to do this best to save Michigan motorists dollars. Because, you know, the average person, especially in some of the big metro areas, they just can't pay it. And Steve, they're driving without insurance anyway because they can't afford the premiums. So it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, well, a lot of people, you know, are driving around without insurance. Do you think if insurance was cheaper, they'd buy insurance or they'd just go without anyway? I mean, that's a serious question, Matt.
You know, of course, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it, Steve? Maybe they would just not drive without it anyway. But I think if you made it less expensive and easy enough to get, I think more people would be covered.
Maybe we should just provide it. You know, maybe the government should just provide insurance because it's a human right to drive.
Well, you know that's the argument. You make it easy for some people, they'll do it. You get a government program entrenched, it's
sure
to last forever, and so what do you do?
Yeah, so let's have the government pay for it because it's a human right to drive and transportation, and we demand it. Anyhow, I'm joking a little bit. I don't know if there's a quick solution to this, an easy solution, because people keep fighting over it. We don't actually know how much money is in the catastrophic fund because we've been told we're not allowed to know, which I find appalling. But here we are, you know, months on, years on, the debate continues, no resolution in sight, and the same arguments keep playing out, Matt. I don't know where we go from here.
Steve, it's insane. You know, people need to realize that. I think the unfortunate reality is that, you know, there's not enough people that are tuned in to good programs like yours and becoming informed. They need to be informed to get involved here and put pressure on their politicians to get stuff done. I mean, it's ludicrous. You go to the House of Representatives, for example, like I did, and sit through insurance committee testimony, and it's just insane. It's amazing that anything can get done in Lansing.
Well, or Washington, or any place else for that matter. You know, you have these systems in place that are, you know, archaic and move slowly. Now, moving slowly by design is the way it's supposed to be, but never moving at all and locked up, you know, frozen, not really the way it's supposed to be. But then again, this system has worked since 1976. You know, people have been insured. It hasn't been, you know, talked about nearly as much as it has been recently over the years. Michigan does have a system that's different than everybody else, but there are 13,000 plus people now that aren't bankrupting their families, that are collecting these benefits for the rest of their lives, having been catastrophically injured in automobile accidents. And as you know, that would have bankrupted a lot of families. Matt Coffey with me, an attorney, 26 years, statewide practice. So, Matt, what do you say to those folks? You know, what happens to people that get catastrophically injured and that kind of protection isn't there?
Yeah, well, I think, the answer to that question is of course, there needs to be coverage someplace. And I think the better shift of coverage is away from a no-fault premium that's so high toward a program like Medicare or Medicaid. Now, of course, the government is picking up the tab. We're picking up the tab for that. But you look at the where that money has come from, it's a wider base of taxes that are collected to pay for that sort of thing, as opposed to that really targeted, punitive insurance premium that we all pay. So spread the risk among many, many payers, which would be the Medicare and Medicaid system, as opposed to having people pick that up when they pay their no-fault premium. It's just too high.
So how much do you think we would save if we changed this?
Well, you know, that's, again, the million-dollar question. You know, I think that those who were opposed to it said there wasn't enough guarantee that insurance companies were going to roll back premiums. You know, and the bill put forth by Representative Tice talked about 40% reduction in premiums. So, you know, I think if you talk to any claims manager of any big insurance company, they'd tell you, look, we would be more than happy to reduce premiums if we got a break on unlimited coverage. And another thing, too, Steve, that we didn't mention is we need to get rid of this fraud. There is so much fraud.
Well, hold on. I don't disagree with that, but I want to back up to what you just said. All right, so we changed the system. You just point out something I don't think anybody's ever said before. Pretty obvious. There's no guarantee the insurance companies will roll back their premiums. There's no responsibility or requirement for them to do so, certainly. And the premiums are already at that rate. People are already tolerating that. The insurance companies would just say, maybe we can maximize profits. We'll back up maybe just a skosh, but not too much. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think they would do that. I really don't think that it wouldn't be good for business. You know, this is still a relatively free market, and there's lots of insurance companies that would like to come in, you know, if insurance companies don't live up to what the bill would propose. But, you know, I suppose we're not there, Steve. No one cares. It didn't make it through the House, so things are going to stay the way they are, and you and I are going to pay ungodly high insurance premiums for automobile insurance.
Well, you know, but there's no way you could. The government can dictate to anybody. I don't know if you dictate what the rates are going to be to the insurance companies to make sure people save money, because it sure would be the worst of both worlds if you got rid of this and insurance companies remained the same.
That's true. And, you know, another thing, too, that we didn't mention, I think a lot of people and a lot of politicians thought this, well, this is a Detroit problem. This is a problem that only affects Detroit. But, you know, it's statewide, Steve. Everybody's paying high insurance premiums, not just the people in the city of Detroit. So what's the solution? You know, they got to get back and they got to sit across the table from each other and work this out before they propose a bill in the House.
Well, there you go. We're going to have to keep an eye on this because I don't know if resolution's anywhere near, but it needs to come at some point. Matt Coffey, an attorney, 26 years of practice. Greatly appreciate your insight, Matt. You should come back sometime. Good name, by the way, to be on morning radio.
You know, and I was just drinking some, too.
Well, of coffee. Course you were. Good man. Matt Coffey here to wake you up this morning. Thank you, Matt.
Thanks, Steve.
All right. So there you have it. And the arguments continue with no progress in sight. Straight ahead today, unions admit forcing people to pay dues is a political maneuver. No kidding. I'm shocked to hear that. I've only preached that very doctrine for 30 years. If I had $1 million, I'd give it to you. You're listening to the Steve Gruber Show. Open the fridge.